As we begin a series about Jonah, let us turn to the first chapter, which we hope to consider in two parts today. Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every one unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Thus far God's word for us this morning. From time to time, we are all asked the question, And who are you? This is one of the foundational, fundamental questions of life. Who are you? And how we answer this question depends on how we see ourselves, or how we want to be seen by others. As we start our series about Jonah this morning, we want to know who Jonah is, don't we? Of course, we all know who Jonah is. Even the littlest among us this morning has heard about Jonah and the big fish. But there's more to Jonah than him and the big fish. Jonah is an interesting prophet. He's like no other prophet. Most prophets were obedient to God's will. But Jonah was not. Jonah has a rebel heart. Yet the Lord Jesus doesn't shy away to compare himself to this prophet. Why? How? We hope to come to that later. This morning we just like to ask this question with the Lord's help. Who are you, Jonah? It's a question that was kind of asked by the sailors on the ship. They're asked this question at a moment in Jonah's life. I can imagine he rather wanted to disappear, be some other place. Our text is Jonah 1 verse 8 in its surrounding context. There we hear that question echoed to Jonah. And they said unto him, Jonah, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? So in other words, who are you, Jonah? What are you doing here? Where do you come from? Why are we in trouble? Let's, with God's help, answer this question. And let us go to Jonah first this morning and ask him this question. Who are you, Jonah? He would say probably to us something like, my name is Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah, my name means dove, and my father's name means faithful. Where do you live, Jonah? I live in Gath Hefer. That's in the northern part of Israel. Not too far from the Sea of Galilee, in the country of Israel. But who are you really, Jonah? What is your occupation? What is your job? He could have answered, well, my calling is to be a prophet. I'm the mouthpiece of the Lord. When I speak, the Lord is saying something. I represent the Lord. What does it mean, Jonah, when you say you are a prophet? What kind of work have you done so far? Well, among other things, Jonah could have said, I've been speaking to the king on behalf of the Lord and to the people. Because Jeroboam II, the king of Israel, needed to be told from the Lord to expand the borders of the northern kingdom of Israel so that this kingdom would be kept safe. We can read about that in 2 Kings 14, verse 25. And the Lord told me to say that to Jeroboam. And so I told the king. That's what the Bible tells us about Jonah. But now the question comes to us. Who are you? Who are we? Jonah found his secure identity with the people of God, and he found his identity in the fact that he was a prophet of the Lord. He was familiar with the words of God. He spoke them into his country and to the king so that this country would be strong and safe. What keeps us busy? How does what we do every day show who we really are? Has the Word of God a voice in our lives? In other words, the question here is, what is our identity? If we are not in Christ this morning, then you are somehow, and maybe you're struggling with these questions, but still you're trying to create often your own identity, to make it up as you go. And some find it in their work, some find it in their hobbies, some find it in their friendship, their relationships. And one thing is sure, that you define your identity by what you do. You might know a bit about what God says about life. But if you are outside of Christ, it hasn't impacted you at the heart level. And so, your choices show that. Your choices are your choices, not God's choices. And perhaps you're influenced a little bit by our culture, who is very confused about what identity means. Many are listening to doctrines of devils. Confused identity. Not to the doctrine of God, who rules over all and knows what is best for us. If we are in Christ by faith this morning, that's different. Then that defines who we are. More than anything else. Christ now has become your life source. And obedience is what you love and what you desire. And what you're sad about when you don't. Yes, God's children sometimes go astray at times. We will see that in a moment with Jonah. But if you are in Christ through faith, that then God has made you alive and you want to live for the Lord. And you're regenerated and sin is never ever going to undo that in your life. You find your identity in Jesus Christ. Paul puts it like this, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That means my life is no longer about myself. I have died to my desires. And then he says, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live by the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God. I live looking to Him by faith. That's my identity. And it's a secure identity. He loves me, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So where is your identity? Let's go back to Jonah. So Jonah, yes, an Israelite. Yes, a prophet who is to listen to God's word alone and follow it in obedience. Jonah, however, didn't really find his identity, his secure identity, his happiness in being God's mouthpiece. Do you remember what happened, children? One day, the Lord speaks to Jonah. Verse 1 of our chapter says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Arise, go, Jonah. Arise, that means not only stand up and go. No, this means obey and go. Obey immediately. In other words, the Lord is saying to Jonah, you pack up your stuff and you go. Leave behind your safe country, Israel. Leave behind your task as a prophet, where you are respected to a certain extent, to the extent that the people are listening to you. Pack and go. Leave behind the place you have grown up and where you are safe, where you feel secure. Arise, go to Nineveh. And God says, that great city. It was not only a very important city in Assyria, it was also one of the cities of Israel's enemy. In other words, the Lord is saying to Jonah, you need to switch from a prophet, a border security for a prophet, keeps the enemies out, to going to the enemy, preach against them. Here's your new task. Preach against them, because they are wicked. That's what the Lord says about them. And He can know. I've noticed their wickedness, the Lord says. And they need to be warned. They are a lost city who need to repent, who need to bow before me. Otherwise, they will be destroyed. So put yourself in Jonah's shoes for a moment. Always to use to work for the chosen country of Israel. But now, the Lord says, arise and go. And he's called to go and preach against the enemies. And this is how the people thought about that in that day. Doing ministry among the people of God, God's own people, is a great privilege. But among God's enemies, that was a curse. So Jonah, you need to make a choice. Jonah is at a crossroads. The Lord had spoken very clearly. God calls and expects to be obeyed. But, what but, Jonah? In these moments like these, and we have all have these kind of moments in our lives, it shows where your real desires are, Jonah. In moments like these, it shows how you answer the question, who are you? What is your identity? And all our lives are filled with crossroads moments, choices in everyday life. some days more so than others. And in these moments, don't we know what God says in His Word? Don't we have an idea of what other people think about this choice? Don't we have our own ideas and wishes and dreams? Who are you in those moments? What is most important? When there is an opportunity to speak about Jesus Christ, for instance. When God's word is clear about your task, but you just don't like it. And so you don't. Who are we? When the Lord tells us, arise, go, care for your neighbor, love your enemy, be a light in the world, give that cold cup of cold water to the one who needs it in the name of a disciple. What have we done with last Sunday's morning's message? Have you been at the lookout for these kind of things in your life, these opportunities? Have we fully embraced Christian identity, the task that Jesus gave His disciples to go into this world and make disciples? Yes, at the place that God puts you, right there. Right there. Or are we more like Jonah? We hear, arise, go, and then ignore what we hear, and we take the wrong turn. God says, turn right, Jonah. And Jonah says, no, Lord, I turn left. Who are you, Jonah? A prophet of the Lord? A servant of the Lord? Or are you your own boss? Who are you? Who are you when people need Christ? When we are talking to our neighbor and have an opportunity at our work and do our spare time activities? People need the gospel. What are your and my excuses? I would really like Christ, who looked at the people and was overflowing with compassion. Not with a desire to look good at before other peoples, and therefore we try to speak. No, with compassion. Because you know these people in front of me are like sheep without a shepherd. What do we do when God says to us, go, arise, go? Jonah knew what the Lord had said. He knew what to do. But Jonah, verse 3 says, but Jonah. How often does that happen in our lives? You know the word of God, and then, but, and you fill in your name. I fill in my name. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Do you see Jonah walk there, children? God said, arise, go to Nineveh. Do you know where he is now? Joppa. Joppa is a very busy city. It had a harbor and it was right at the Mediterranean Sea. Right at the sea that was right next to Israel. Do you see Jonah pulling his wallet? Opposite direction. Tarshish. All the way to Spain. He was willing to pay for it. So he puts his money there. He pays the fare. Direction? Away from the presence of the Lord. He was a prophet of the Lord. He is to serve the Lord. Now he pulls his wallet and goes his own way, unwilling to serve the Lord. He is resisting and rebelling against God's sovereign will in his life. No prayer for help. No submission. That's asking for problems, Jonah. That's asking to be stripped of the joy and the blessing that the Lord's promises to those who live close to him receive and obey him. That means inviting all kinds of trouble into your life. That means pushing out of your life joy and peace. That's what running away from the Lord means. Running away from the Lord. Is that possible? Jonah must have known Psalm 139. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Jonah flees from the presence of the Lord, which is impossible. But he tries, because he thinks that it's better. He knows what is better for him. Who are you, Jonah? Are you God? A servant of God? Did God create you? Shouldn't you obey him then? Will you run with Jonah this morning? Are you perhaps running with Jonah this morning? Are you inviting God's covenant curses into your life by not keeping his commandments? Or are you running in the way of his commandments? Bless the Lord if that's true about you. That's his grace. That's his power. And you can continue to be blessed in his presence. And know God's promise in Jesus Christ, I am with you. I am with you. But Jonah, who are you? Where are you? Where are you going? Where is your life heading? Young people, is God's word a light upon your path so that you keep your ways pure? But you might wonder, how do I know I'm fleeing with Jonah? Well, we can flee with Jonah from the Lord by ignoring his word, as we see from this history. Ignoring it for our daily life, for the wisdom of our life. We can flee with Jonah from the Lord by not depending upon him in prayer. We can flee from Jonah always seeking what is best for me rather than how can I be a blessing to others. We can flee from Jonah when we keep our mouths shut about God and Jesus Christ. When you know that person needs the gospel. Young people, you can flee from God by installing a certain app on your phone and you know it's going to lead you into temptation. It's going to make you waste hours and hours. We can flee with Jonah. In thousands bigger and smaller ways, each day is full of opportunities to flee with Jonah from God's presence. Ignoring the truth of Psalm 139, where shall I flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there. Wherever you go, you cannot escape God. One commentator said it like this: when you run away from the Lord, you never get where you are going. Never get to where you are going. And you always have to pay your own fare. But when you go the Lord's way, you always get to your destination. And He pays the fare. He pays the fare. Are you traveling on your own expense? Are you pulling your wallet for all kinds of things? To go far away from the Lord? You're not going where you want to go. You will not reach it. But when you go the Lord's way, He is going to pay for you. And He is going to bring us to Himself, keep us to Himself. Our own works are never going to please the Lord. When we learn to abide in Him and learn the joy of obedience, and that Christ's work is fully finished and paid for you, a sinner, that's a joyful journey. That's a joyful journey. You're going to your destination, to eternal joy. But Jonah, he boards a ship, pays the fare, runs from the Lord. Where are you, Jonah? Don't you know you can't escape the Lord? With the words of the psalm, Jonah is trying to make his bed in hell. Trying to escape to the uttermost parts of the sea. He went into the ship, heading for Tarshish. Verse 5 at the end shows, but Jonah was gone down in the sides, that means in the stern or the innermost part of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Jonah, how can you? Turning from the Lord and yet sleeping like a baby? How can you? Doesn't your conscience bother you? But before we blame Jonah, there might be some of us who do the same every night, sleeping like a baby, not knowing whether your sins are forgiven or no. Well, not a pang of conscience. Isn't that trying to make your bed in hell? Before we blame Jonah, how many of us do the same during the lifetime, daytime? Trying to make our lives as comfortable as possible without the blessed assurance that our faith is resting in Jesus Christ. Isn't that trying to sleep at Satan's soft pillow, making yourself comfortable? We don't know how long Jonah was sleeping. And the wind was howling, the waves, but they didn't bother Jonah. That's what disobedience can do to us. We don't even realize the danger anymore. We have accepted the situation and nothing seems to shake us awake. And true, waking up from our sleep of sin, spiritual death, is a work of God. No doubt about that. But if you are spiritually dead, you are the guilty one. Just as Jonah was the guilty one. What the storm could not do, however, the voice of the captain did. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. How can you sleep, you sleeper? What's the matter with you, Jonah? There's some irony here. Jonah is waking up. As he is waking up, This man uses two words that God has used to call him in verse 2. Arise. And then cry out. That's the same word as call. Arise, Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Call against her. Cry out against her. Arise, Jonah. Call upon your God. These words must have mocked him. Even the pagan sailor's words remind him of God's call. Did it give him pangs of conscience? Did he fear? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us much about the inner life of Jonah. But this pagan sailor asked Jonah to pray to the God from whom he is fleeing. Thinking hopefully one of the many gods that they thought were out there could do something, and Jonah's God was one of them, and would be appeased by some words, some mumbling. When might come the storm? Jonah was sound asleep as God's word echoes in the sailor's words. And when you and I are fleeing, like Jonah, God will continue to put reminders upon your path. He will. Through the testimony of someone who loves the Lord, or perhaps through the emptiness of your life, or through the emptiness of a life without God. He speaks in all kinds of ways. Sometimes he speaks by sudden deaths or calamities. But the worst thing that can happen to us is when he doesn't speak to us and it doesn't rouse our conscience anymore. When he gives us over to our desires. We cannot ignore God's word endlessly. We should listen to the call. Arise, call upon your God before it is too late. If you are still outside of Christ this morning, don't silence your conscience by just going on by what you have always been doing. One of the Puritans said, there will be millions of decent church people in hell, and they have all these sermons in their memories. Who are you, Jonah? Fast asleep while God sends a storm on your way? It was not just a little wind. These experienced sailors were filled with fear. Call upon the God who cast this wind upon the sea and from whom you are fleeing. That's what they ask. Do you see the irony? Jonah was the prophet of the Lord. Jonah should have known that he could never escape the presence of the Lord. We can be out the favorable presence of the Lord. And when you don't belong to the Lord, you are. But escape? Can we ever escape? Jonah knew the Lord. And the Lord knew Jonah. The Lord is in control of Jonah's life, our life, even when you and I would run 1,000 miles from him. As nothing seems to help, and Jonah had already told the sailors that he was fleeing from the Lord, they decide to cast these lots to find out who brought this evil upon them. And the lot fell upon Jonah. So they point to Jonah and they say, Jonah, you are the problem. Why is this evil upon us? And so our text, verse 8, shows that these men are questioning Jonah. What do you do? What is your mission, Jonah? Where do you come from? What is your nationality? From which people are you? Who are you, Jonah? Just like our theme. What a question. What an embarrassing situation. God points out, Jonah, you are the problem. God finds Jonah right there in his sin, in his rebellion, and puts his disobedience on display before those pagan sailors. You know why? We heard it from the law, didn't we? God is a jealous God. He visits iniquity. When Jonah runs away, he doesn't give up on Jonah. That's what it means to be jealous. When you are saved, he will never ever let you go. The work that he began, he will finish. And you are secure by the high priest, the merciful high priest that has compassion on those who have gone out of the way and have gone astray. Jesus. He seeks Jonah, his disobedient child, through the storm, through the sailor's words, through those lots. But you say, I'm not saved. What then? Well, God is searching for you right now. He's seeking you through the Word too. And do you know how he begins? He begins by pointing the finger. You are the problem. And know that God's sovereign mercy is able to find you right where you are, running away from him because the lot fell upon Jonah. Our sins will be found out earlier or later. We will not be able to hide them. So bring them to him. Repent of your sins. Christ can give you such repentance. Are you a sinner? Out of the way? Astray? Miles away from God? At least that's what you think. But where can you flee from his presence? What is your mission in life? Where do you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? Behind all these questions is, who are you really? Do you belong to Jesus Christ or to yourself? If you belong to him, you find everything that you don't have in him. Everything. And he sets the direction of your life. You find it in his faithfulness, in his sacrifice, in his forgiveness, in his mercy for lost sinners such as you are. So who are you, Jonah? Well, Jonah had an answer ready, a religious answer. He doesn't show repentance, really. He says, I'm a Hebrew, first of all. That means, basically, I'm a refugee. I'm traveling from one place to the next. I'm not at home. And then to our surprise, he adds, I fear the Lord. Really, do you, Jonah? How can you say that when your actions tell us something different? That's how Jonah sees himself. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, the Most High. None higher than him. That's how Jonah answers this question. It means I fear, I worship him, I respect him, I'm in awe of him. I desire to honor him. I fear in the sense of trembling to offend him. Because he is so glorious, he is so majestic, he is so powerful, he is so just, he is so holy. When the sailors asked Jonah the question, who are you? Jonah answers with, "I fear the Lord." And the sailors are actually beginning to fear. They are terrified. Look at the storm. They look at it, and they hear the ship almost breaking, and they see the outcome of the lot, and they are terrified. But what about Jonah? "I fear the Lord, the Most High God, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Jonah, isn't your heart a little hard? Has familiarity bred contempt? If only you feared him, Jonah, you wouldn't run away in the first place. You would have listened to him. Now, if you would have been at the ship with Jonah, and you saw this big storm caused by Jonah's disobedience, wouldn't you have expected the sailors to say sneeringly, "Pleased to meet you, Jonah. Nice you boarded our ship." That's not what the sailors said, though. Because God was in control, and we hope to see more about that tonight. But if you and I are honest, don't we all have a heart like Jonah by nature? Could it be that we are so familiar with the facts about God, but when it comes to living the life in the reality of God's presence, how is that going? Could it be also that we are standing at 1,000 crossroads every day, and we are so used to our disobedient responses that we don't even realize it anymore? There's a book out there, and we talked about that at the last elders meeting last Monday night, which is called "Where Have All the God-Fearers Gone?" Now, what is a God-fearer? Those who seriously seek to obey God in every aspect of life. That's a God-fearer. Those who tremble at his word when it rebukes them and when it points the finger at them. That's a God-fearer. Those who keep bringing all known sin and are saddened when you see more of it in your life. That's a God-fearer. A God-fearer is not like Jonah at this moment in his life, running away from God. A God-fearer is running to God in Jesus Christ. Where are the real God-fearers? Jonah said, "I fear the Lord." But who is your Lord, Jonah? That's a good question. We hope to see that tonight. It's rather obvious, isn't it? Jonah is a sinner. In our text, we are introduced to Jonah, who is out of the way, running away from God. Do you say this morning, "Pleased to meet you, Jonah. I see something of what you have in my heart too." But don't say that and only that. Say something more. You and I need the God of Jonah more than anyone else. He is glorious. He is the answer for people like Jonah. I know about a prophet better and greater than Jonah. His name is Jesus. I want to tell you about him. And the differences between Jonah and Jesus are amazing. Jonah and Jesus both slept in a ship while the storm was on the waters, and the ship was ready to sink. Just like those sailors, Jesus' disciples, they were full of panic. just like Jonah, sound asleep. So Jesus, sound asleep. Jonah, guilty. Jesus, sinless. Jonah, disobedient. Jesus, always doing the will of his Heavenly Father. And he went on a difficult mission, far more difficult than going to Nineveh. God the Father said to him, "Go, arise, go to this world, save my people from their sins." And he went. Perfectly obedient. To seek sinners like Jonah who are out of the way. Is that you tonight, this morning? Jonah slept while he was trying to escape God's will. But blessed be the Lord Jesus who slept, fully embracing the will of his Father, even to the point of suffering and death. And therefore, he can be your Savior. Jonah runs from being a prophet, but Jesus takes the responsibility of a prophet. Even greater, he is God. At his voice, winds, waves, quiet. Jonah, a mere man. Christ, the perfect Savior, the God-man. Fear him this morning. I think we all know which ship is safest to go aboard. Are your storms, the storms of your life, unruly? You need to have him on board. And he says to you, welcome aboard this morning. If you're not aboard yet, then ask him, who are you, Lord Jesus? Show me who thou art. And when you know that, you will learn the answer to this question. Who am I? Who am I? And you are going to answer this question with Jonah. I'm a wretched sinner, but I know something of God's unrelenting grace. Who are you? Amen.